The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
That's a f***ing crock of shit. Sorry for my language.
That's all right. Do you want to reword that?
All right. That's a f***ing crock of shit. Sorry for my language.
That's all right. Do you want to reword that?
All right. I think it's a waste of money.
Okay, here we go.
That's a f***ing crock of shit. Sorry for my language.
That's all right. Do you want to reword that?
All right. I think it's a waste of money.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Capello.
Hello. What's that? Chester. Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah, you seem like a nice, pleasant fellow, friendly and saggy and a little overdressed.
Chester, I'm your partner, Harry Turner.
Harry?
Yeah, Harry Turner, your pal.
Pal?
Chester, for 20 years we've been bosom friends.
Bosom? What's that?
Oh, you have lost your memory, haven't you? Come on, Chester, try and remember. Try real hard. Who am I now?
Father?
Not even...
Who's that?
I don't know, but give me a stick and I'll kill it.
Now think carefully. Who does that look like?
Oh, I don't know. A nice, handsome fellow. Dashing, devil-may-care. Irresistible to women.
You never heard of bosom?
Never.
Boy, we got a lot of work to do. Never mind.
So Harry Turner desperately tried to regain his friend's memory. He took him to the most highly respected neurologist in India.
Oh.
What is it, doctor?
Terrible heartburn. Oh, dear. Put too much curry in my cornflakes, you understand? One moment, please. Smuggle myself up in front of you, gentlemen. Now then, comes the examination. Please, taking that out of the way. Now, 1 second. Looking in here. My goodness gracious me. Would you look in the other ear, please?
Well, I can see you.
That's strange. I can see you.
That's only since I put in air conditioning.
What do I look like?
You look like you need a doctor.
Don't know where I could find a doctor at this time of the day.
Doctor, will you please get on with the examination?
Since you are a fine American gentleman, I am offering you my special European fee, 1,200 rupees.
1,200 rupees.
Right. Open your mouth, please, and say, Sun vibe with King Gifko, Gareth, wind drop with Clan, the city of Gogogoch.
Ah.
You are suffering from a severe attack of teeth and two cavities. I will fill them for you for 600 rupees.
Are you a doctor or a dentist?
What do you need?
I need to get my memory back.
Just 1 moment, please. Could you use some French postcards?
No.
No? It is. Slightly used to Vanathagar?
No.
Oh.
Underwater inflatable bust of Yogi Berra?
No. Pity is going for us all.
Teardrops on my guitar.
My pretty.
And he said to me, be sexy. So I was sexy, and I was sexy, and awesome, and fantastic. And he said, be fabulous. And I said, I'll be fabulous, darling. Oh, and I said, please be on my radio. And he said, yes, yes, I'll be on your radio. And I said, oh, I bet you say that to all the girls. Frank is on right now.
Oh! Broadcasting is now sitting in his throne. Commander Cotolo here, ready to go again. And we will continue to go. My name is Frank Cotolo. That is the name of the title of the show. Hello, Neptunato. I couple service center, home of nymphomaniacs. Here we go. As I chronicle into the evening. Good morning, night. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. You would think by now I would be able to just smoothly enter the theater. But the third man, always looking around, always, always on guard, always on edge, always on the brink. My name is Frank Cotolo, and that is the name adorns the title of the show. I am also known as the third man, and I'm here to go down the hallelujah trail with you on this 2,433rd hour. I am counting. I made that number up up here. Cotolo Chronicles. I wonder how many hours we're actually talking about. I don't know, but take out your zithers. As December looms boldly, get out your, don't drink and dance, don't text and drive, don't text and dance. That's pretty simple, isn't it? What are we, a Y2K plus 14 rapidly coming to a halt. Halt? No, it comes to an end. An end is a halt, by the way. I just want you to know that. The end, the finish, the terminato. As we move along, are you curious, Yellow? Because we want you to be here. And we want you to wake up, because it is indeed night. And we're here again to wind up the year. Well, I don't mean now. We're going to be on the rest of December, but the third man is watching and listening and firing on all five cylinders, or the six cylinders. How many cylinders you got? Just keep cooking. Just keep pumping them. Pump. Cylinders pop, right? That's what they do. They don't grind. It's about time we heard this one, isn't it? Just when you think you've seen everything you can, you see the first, the second, and then the third man. I wonder what Carol, and I forgot his last name. His first name is Carol, with the K, who did that movie, The Third Man, from which that theme, Dust, originates. Carol Reed. Oh, thank you. Those saloon doors between my conscious and my subconscious are just flapping. And I am here to go flapping my lips with you for an evening of you and I beverage. And if you had a good, I hope you had a good, wonderful, all the popular plus and positive words and adjectives that will precede the word day for this in America. Now, you know, I can't just say Happy Thanksgiving across the world, because it's not. It was Canada, it was Thanksgiving like a month ago. I don't know when it's Thanksgiving in Spain. I don't know if they give thanks in Spain. I don't know. I guess they do. They give gracias. It's gracias dia. Dia de gracias. That's what they call it in Spain. It's a dia de gracias. I don't know if they have that. I don't know when that occurs, if they have it, and if they wear sombreros. I have no idea. Do they wear sombreros in Spain or just... Did they import sombreros to Mexico? Well, no answer on that one. We'll have to look it up. Maybe that's what you need to take or get, if you don't have already, your Cotolo Chronicles notebook. Many things I will say throughout the show, which, by the way, is me, Frank Cotolo. I will not annotate. I'll just mention things, I'll say things, and you're just going to have, you don't know what, I can't stop at every single thing and define stuff, names, nouns, right? People, places, and things. So you just write it down, then later on, look it up on your Google, your Yahoo, your Ask, your, what's the other one, Bing? You could Bing it, you could Bing it, you could Google it, you could Yahoo it. I think you could Excite, too. Somebody press up, is there still, yeah, I ask that every week, every other week, maybe. Let me tell you about a few things that are going on, and then we're going to move into the show. First thing, I'll do that in between there. I'm watching, and I've seen this a number of times, maybe you have too, the ill-titled 2001 A Space Odyssey. I don't know, what were they thinking? 2001. They made this in 1968. Did they actually think that 32 years later we were going to be going to Saturn? It's a whole nother story, and it doesn't matter. 2001, of course, just meant the millennium. 2001. You know, I was watching this. I'm laying in bed watching this because it was on, and I hadn't gotten up yet. So I said, "Oh well, let's." You know, I like that beginning with the monkeys, and this. I forgot the name of the guy. You know the song that that Elvis used when he came out later on in his career. What was that? Zarathustra. There you go. Zarathustra. And you know what I noticed over the first half hour of this movie? I had not realized it. And of course, and then I realized when I turned it off, because I didn't watch the whole thing, I also realized that there's a motif in this movie. There's a lot of eating. And the next time you watch 2001, A Space Odyssey, if you haven't seen it, watch it and look at how much eating there that takes place in the scenes in this movie. I've seen this a number of times, and I did not realize how much food is involved in the actual act of eating. When you see a movie or you read a book, no, let's just say movies. Forget about books. Always open a book. When you see a movie a number of times, because you like it or whatever reason, and you know, in the 15th, 16th, 17th time, when you start getting into the double digits, maybe, you start noticing things you just took for granted. For granted? I'm hearing sounds. And you hear things that you took for granted, and you see things that you took for granted. And I'm thinking, you know, that's because I think that, you know what, let's put the third man on again and make sure this is not a job for the police. Where is that anyway? Do I have that somewhere? Yeah, put that on again there. And we'll come back. I'm going to tell you about this. Yeah, okay. All right, guys, put your zithers away there. That was strange. I think that was a strange opening there. Because remember the night I saw the lights out there? I thought it was a ship. It was the moon. No, perhaps I need some stronger meds. No, here, I'm watching, and I didn't realize how much eating goes on in this movie. It's not, I'm just mentioning something, okay? It's not necessarily something, you might want to write it down. And the next time you see it, or if you've already seen this movie any number of times, be sure to look for the eating. The monkeys in the beginning, I say monkeys, I don't know. They're like, you know, they're like the abominable, they're not abominable snowmen because there's no snow. They're kind of the missing links. That's what I was thinking. Well, some people thought that the abominable snowman was a missing link. And I don't know what was so abominable about him, or where that name came from originally, but the chimp, they're not chimps. They're like, they're men with hair. Men with hair. Isn't that a group from the 70s? Men with hair now. Yeah, and they're eating. They learn to eat when they learn to kill the, I don't know what those animals, what are those animals they kill? They eat them. They eat them. They don't cook them because they haven't figured out fire, but they find a weapon. Okay, but that's the point is, that they're eating. They learn to eat because of stuff. Okay. And then it goes, you know, what, 2,000 years ahead of time, or maybe even more. Yeah, way more than 2,000 years ahead. Unless you think things started 4,000 years ago. And then we're in outer space, and these spaceships are flying around to the tune of the Blue Danube. Beautiful, beautiful piece. And nice visuals, too. Thank you very much. Like you don't know it anyway. Then we see the guy who's on his way to visit a planet or a moon. He's going to a moon. And what does he do on the way? He eats. And waitresses serve him, and he eats. And I think you even see the waitresses eat. They sip out of a tray that has pictures of corn. So it's kind of like liquid stuff. Okay. And then we see the guy get into a small vehicle, like pod, which goes onto this moon. And what did they do while he's there talking to the guys who have something to do with his trip? A guy comes in with a large, almost like a refrigerator, one of these refrigerators, or these, one of these things they would carry around like at a sports event, where they sell stuff and they walk around. A cooler of some sort. And he goes, hey, what do you want to eat? You want something? You want sandwiches? We got sandwiches. this is supposed to be years and years and years ahead of in the future. And they're serving sandwiches. Now, really, we don't get 40 minutes into this movie and we've got three meals going on already. Then we meet the two people. It's Keir DeLay, the actors. I forgot, they're Bowman and Clydesdale, or whatever his name is, Bowman and Gary Lockhart. Yeah, that's his name. Who are the guys on this trip to Jupiter, okay? And to get the exposition of the story, which is why the thing is going to Jupiter, and who are these people, and then to introduce yourself to Hal, the computer, who plays a big role in the movie. What did they do while they watch a screen, a BBC news report? These two space guys that are in this gigantic ship on its way to Saturn. No, Jupiter. What are they doing? That's right. They're eating. They go and they take a meal out of this machine, which cooks this kind of pureed colored food. It's not solid, is what I'm saying. It's pureed. I believe that's. And the pureed food it comes in these little trays, and you put them on a big tray, and the thing heats it up like a microwave, and then you put any number of them on, and then they eat. So there's meal, there's sandwiches, there's pureed food, there's liquid corn, and the sandwiches. You know what's funny with the sandwich? And he goes, "What, you got ham?" The guy's going, he's talking about going on to see this amazing thing that has just happened, some artifact that they have found on some moon. And I just, and he goes, "Okay, want something to eat?" He goes, "Yeah, I got sandwiches. You got chicken?" He goes, "You got chicken?" And then he even comments. He says, "Wow, what is this?" He goes, "Honest, it tastes like chicken." And he goes, "Yeah, they're doing wonders. They're really getting better at this. Like the people who make the food. We had to know this in the movie. The people who make the food, the process of making the food is getting better." And so the sandwiches, and the guy's got ham. Got ham? Yeah, I think so. I got ham. And he's walking. And then he goes, "You want some coffee with that?" And they're in this module that's going to land. And everything is so sophisticated and technologically terrific. And what did they do? And they're having sandwiches. And the guy brings over a pitcher of coffee. It's a pitcher of coffee. And he pours it into... I have noticed that they did eat in these scenes before. But I never realized that from the hairy man, the missing links eating the raw bison or whatever they kill. And then the waitresses eat, and then eat, and then Bowman and Loman eat. And not sure about the middle, because I didn't get that far, but I do remember that the end, before the space baby is born, the globe, what is it called? Stellar Child or whatever the hell he's called. Star Baby or Star Child, whatever, in that strange and multi-interpreted acid trip of an ending of 2001. There's a part where Bowman, who's now 137 years old, living, and he's in this room. And what is he doing? What is he doing? He's eating dinner. He even drops a glass. And I'm thinking to myself, what? How come of all the reviews, and I know, of course, I haven't read books. There's tons of books. There's tons of books. I know, because this is a very controversial ending. It was a controversial movie in many ways, and it was expanded from a short story, and the guy who wrote the short story wrote the screenplay with Stanley Kubrick. I forgot this guy's name. You can find out. See? Write this down in your book. But today I noticed, and the thing is, I'm laying there, and I'm wondering, as I'm noticing this, I'm going, why do I want breakfast so much now? I was just, you know, I could, that's the reason I turned it off. I could have laid there and just watched the rest of it. I had nothing much else to do, but I got so hungry. For the first time of all the times I saw 2001 Space Odyssey, it makes me hungry. Because I notice all the food eating. But anyway, if you get a chance to see the movie, you might want to see that. And what else do we have? The other thing I was thinking about was I saw on the news, and then now they're starting to do promotions for this new version of Peter Pan, the TV version of Peter Pan. Now, I know a lot of you are not old enough to remember Mary Martin. It was a girl. Girls always play Peter Pan. Well, they should. I mean, Robin Williams played an older Peter Pan in that Hook movie. But in general, in the play that was from the children's book, not the Walt Disney, that was a cartoon. There's no such thing as sex in cartoons. That's not true. What I mean is that Peter Pan was a boy. And even though rather, you know, effeminate, why don't they just say feminine? Why effeminate? Okay. Anyway, this new TV version they're going to do, where Christopher Walken plays Captain Hook, in this new version they're going to do, which is a reboot of the Mary Martin television Peter Pan, which was done live back in those days. And had the same songs and everything. This is just, you know, done a little differently. But it's going to be done live. This is what's fascinating. That's not why I'm telling you this story, because I'm not promoting this new Peter Pan thing. I tell you, you want to watch it, you watch it. You don't want to watch it, you don't want to watch it. But what struck me while watching this, because that was like, that was the aside. Oh, they're going to do Peter Pan again? They're going to do it live? Well, that's fascinating. They're going to do it live television, because there's just not a lot of live television. Even the late night shows that used to be live, they're not live, they're taped earlier. So they can be late night, but nobody wants to stay up that late and do them. But here's what got me, was that they were talking about, on this particular news event, how they were flying. I forgot who's playing Peter Pan. The girl, some girl's playing Peter Pan. The girl playing Peter Pan, how they're flying her around. And I looked at it and I went, oh, there's that apparatus. Now you're going, why would I look at that apparatus if I've never said this to you before or told this story? But this what was really got me was it wasn't just the apparatus. So they start talking to the guy. He goes, where are the Foy? I think it's Foy, F-O-Y. The Foy Flyers are this machine. It's a machine. It's an apparatus. Not a machine. Well, it is a machine, but it doesn't have an engine. It's an apparatus, and you put on a harness, and it flies you around. And that's the one they used for Mary Martin. But I'm looking at this on The Voice, and the guy says, you know, we've flown all the Peter Pans, and there's Broadway and various other places around the country where they did this play, the Peter Pan play. He said, we've done, you know, all the major Peter Pan flying with this apparatus, Foy. I believe he said Foy, F-O-Y, which I don't remember. Why would I have to remember it? Because I flew on it. And I'm looking and I'm going, wow. And I'm watching the girl who's playing Peter Pan discuss how difficult it is to fly. You know, it doesn't just put you, you know, up. You don't just get up and start swinging around. You've got to get acquainted with movement because it's a whole different thing. But back in 79, at the Good Time Theater at, it's amazing how that just, come on, Doors, stop. What's the other place? The famous California amusement park, not Disneyland, the other one. And isn't that amazing? Come on, guys, what did you do? Why did you bury that piece of information? Knott's Berry Farm, thank you. Oh, so if you say Knott's Berry Farm or Knott's Berry Farm, Knott's Berry Farm. When I did a show that I co-wrote and it starred Wolfman Jack, we used to do these Halloween shows and we did, wow, it was a lot of shows. On Halloween week, we do two shows, show in the afternoon, show at night, show in the afternoon for like, you know, 7 days up until Halloween. And then we do Halloween night, of course. So me and a guy named Brad Hammond wrote this show and they cast me as Dracula. But this is amazing to me because I really learned a lot about myself as an actor. So, and that is that I can't act per se. And that whatever I do, I have to like be myself in that role. So anyway, that's not the point. The point is I play this crazy Dracula, comic Dracula. I even wore my big horn rimmed glasses. And I had this, I had makeup and I had the dark suit and the cape and everything. But, and in this show, I entered flying. Like in my entrance came flying and I was flying. Now, when they told me I was going to fly, I went, oh boy, you know, but I was up for it because, I was probably high anyway. So, and it was, someone said to me, and I think it was Tommy Toonmaker or whatever the guy's name, the guy who directed it was the same guy who directed the opening ceremonies of the Olympics when they were in Los Angeles. Do you remember when the Olympics were in Los Angeles and the torch was Muhammad Ali? That, and that whole big thing, the same guy, this guy just produced all these, directed all these big musical things. Well, he directed this particular show. And he said that this apparatus was the same apparatus that Mary Martin used when she flew in Peter Pan. And I said, well, there's a little asterisk on my performing career. Not that, you know, and that is, I'm going to fly. By the way, this could be an entire show, but it was funny to watch, and I'm not going to do an entire show on it right now. I just thought it was really weird to see it and to identify with the girl playing Peter Pan because it is so difficult to get used to flying with that apparatus. And as a kid, I remember seeing the Mary Martin thing on television, black and white television, live on whatever station, back in the old days of television. And I'm like, wow, wow, could you appreciate how she did it? Now, the funny thing, not funny, but it's not funny, but in this particular news story about the brand new Peter Pan, the girl who was playing Peter Pan was saying, and the director and the Foy operator was saying that they still haven't perfected Peter Pan's entrance, which comes through the window. And in the story, okay, which has any number of ramifications. We could do a whole show on Peter Pan. What a weird, weird piece. But anyway, and they haven't perfected it. And they showed them trying to, they showed them rehearsing, getting her in the harness. It's amazing, man. This harness is unbelievable. You have to put on this harness. And I had to, when we wrote the show, we had to write me in and out because I had to take off the harness afterwards. I had to put on, I had to enter with the harness. And then I'd go off stage and come back again. I couldn't keep that darn thing on for the entire show. It was ridiculous. So, anyway, and I'm watching her going through the rehearsal, trying to get through that. And I'm realizing, wow, do I know how difficult? I can remember how difficult. I crashed the first time I was on it into a huge drum set because there was a band that was, you know, in the back of the, well, they were back, but they were, anyway, I crashed. And I almost got very, very seriously injured because there was also a magician on the show. I almost, and he cut a woman in half. I almost crashed into the buzzsaw at one point. But I did crash into the drums the first time because I did not know, you know, when you get up there and you're suddenly just suspended, you're true. You have to learn the dance of flying and you've got to use muscles you did not know you had. Because you don't use them a lot. Because you don't fly. Fascinating. So that new Peter Pan thing, I would like to watch parts of it at least just to see whoever that Peter Pan is going to be fly. Because I flew. And I'm sure it's... Unless they... I don't think they would lie to me. Because, you know, for a long time... 1979. For a long time, the Foy machine may have been there at Knott's Berry Farm because they did. Maybe they did Peter Pan or something. I don't know. I didn't ask, or if I did, I don't remember. I do know that my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm this man whose name adorns the title of the show, and this is Cotolo Chronicles. And I'm going to talk about technical things. I'm going to talk about some real positive stuff because we do these things now and then. We take that horrible stream of terrible things about the internet. You know, we've been here since the beginning, not the beginning of the internet, but certainly since the beginning of internet radio. I'm going to talk about some really positive things that people are only talking about negatively. But before that, I had to mention The Eating on 2001, which I did. And I know you'll watch this now. And that Peter Pan, I don't know when that's going to be on. Check your local listings for time and channel of that Peter Pan thing. What did I want to say? Also, I want to tell you that there's a number of things going on, including next week. Let's talk about next week first here on Cotolo Chronicles. This will be the first December show, and Phil Hong from SRN Media Works will be here as long as everything goes all right with his travel plans and there's no more ice storms or storms of anything, winter weather, inclement weather does not keep him from his task of travel. We'll be here live and we'll just have some fun with that. And from the SRN, talk about what's going on. But it's also a special night because it's the debut of Savino Veritas. That'll happen. It'll broadcast immediately after Cotolo Chronicles. Tom Savino, my former partner and now a regular guest on the show, has his own show here at SRM Media Works. And it's live. Following me will be, if you're listening live, and I'm just making note that any of the stations out there who follow, who use this show, my show, Cotolo Chronicles, me, Frank Tall, chronicling. You find out, get in touch with us, and we'll tell you how you can air rebroadcasts of Savino Veritas. Great show. I know. We've had a test on it. We did a test run, and Tom is back after many, many years of not broadcasting, and it was like riding a bike. In fact, he will be riding a bike in the first show. Savino Veritas debuting then. What is that anyway? What are we talking about? December. I got to look at my calendar. That would be December 4th of the last month, Y2K plus 14. What else is going on? So anyway, that's next week. Then there was what is, oh, we, I was talking with the Artist D, and the Artist D reminded me, because the Artist D is a lot more organized than I am on these things, that the Bone Garden show, well, which is Roll Call from the Bone Garden, is the last show we always do in a year when we talk about, and we list and talk about celebrities in all walks of celebrity, art, music, science, math, sports, any, you know, anything. We go through the list of those who have passed away since then, the Artist D and I. And the Artist D reminded me, I didn't know in the first place, actually told me that it's Christmas night. We're going to be on the 25th. It falls on a Thursday. So we're not going to do the Bone Garden on January 1st because I want to do it before the end of the year. So the celebrities who pass away from the 25th on, we're just going to have to put on the next list. And we apologize to them and their families ahead of time. So we'll be doing that on the 25th. And that, of course, means that if Christmas night, we'll be doing Cthulhu Chronicles in the Bone Garden. That means that the next week, the first show of Y2K Plus 15 will be on New Year's Day. It'll be night, but on New Year's Day, January 1st. I don't know if this ever happened. I'd have to look back at calendars. There's a way of doing that. There are people, you know, isn't there a way of doing that? I just said there was a way of doing that. People know days, and do you have to be one of those, you have to be a savant to be able to do that? Where you figure out, 10 years ago, when was the last time Christmas fell on a Thursday? Or New Year's Day fell on a Thursday. So we'll be doing the New Year's Day show that night. It's a Thursday. So we'll be doing our Thursday shows as long as everything goes exactly the way it's going right now. And it's going quite well. Thank you. Life of me, Frank Cotolo, which continues through. I don't know. I got myself tied up and I didn't have a sentence there. For gosh sakes, it just goes on as long as I hope it goes on forever and ever and ever. Imagine me being 80 and what would it be like if I'm sitting here on a Thursday night, if not necessarily here or somewhere doing the show? I don't know. Well, you were not supposed to think of that because it doesn't exist. It's now and that's that. Also, what else? Forculture.com. You got to get over there. Speaking of the Artist D, running this particular magazine, online digital magazine. I tell you about this all the time. I'm in it. Oh, my writing is in it. I'm not in it. And I'm also available with little dribs and drabs of pieces on the website itself. So you can read me in the magazine, you can read me on the website. So it's website's great. It's got music, there's all sorts of stuff there. Music, radio stuff, streaming music and art. And it's great. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's going to be a bigger thing as time goes on. And time will go on. So forculture.com, get over there and read all the stuff. This is cutting edge stuff. Also, 148.ca/Frank. Continuing, that's my SRN MediaWorks page. I believe Tom Savino's going to have a page over there, too, for Savino Veritas. I'll be telling you more about that, and we'll be talking. Well, I'm not going to talk until. I'm not going to talk to Tom until next week. That's hard to say. You put a lot of those T's in there. And what else? Political Pulp over at the Montreal Jewish News coming up this week. Live, remember, so. A special report on Angelina Jolie entering the political arena. Huh? Didn't know about that? Well, we got the story. We got the scoop. Speaking of scoops, wake up. It is night. That's all the stuff I have to possibly contain the first three quarters of the first hour. To do it, man. When I do that, you know, you people have been listening, right? Those are the saloon doors that connect my subconscious from my conscious. And as a neo-postmodernist, I'm just flowing. I'm absolutely flowing. And on this American Thanksgiving evening, I hope it's all sitting well with all of you. Is it? Is it sitting well? I hope so. What I want little to do with the things I was just talking about. I a long time ago, and it seems like a long time ago to me, we set a precedent, those of us here who have worked in the internet through all these layers of all the incarnations, there have already been many incarnations of the internet as time goes on. And now that we're in this incarnation that is this period that is so incredibly commercial, that what is it? 7% of every dollar, or 7% of all the holiday shopping will be done online. And right now, how much of it is done online? That wasn't a question. I wasn't asking you. It was a lot. Okay. But in this particular era, but back then, people were complaining a lot about the internet for many reasons. And of course, through the years, we've heard of things that have been horrible. Bullying, kids falling into these emotional pits of depression because of bullying and using the internet chat rooms and texts and this kind of this digital communication for bad things. And every time we've heard something that's bad, we're not denying these things are bad. They are bad. We agree with them. We know bad from good. What do you think? We don't got horns on our head. But we always try to remind people that there are great things about this technology. And as we go down the Hallelujah Trail, we should see the bright side of them too. Now, I bring up the bullying because when that happened, and as that goes on, and because these horrible things, and this is really hideous things, kids committing suicide because of, I don't know. These are just more, I'm not going to get into the psychological aspect of it. We'll wait till Dr. Gary Popoli is on to talk about this other. That's not what we're going to talk about. That's the negative side of it, is that just like they used to complain when the internet started about, they used to complain about music, they complain about pornography, they complain about this, that, and the other thing. Those are three things, this, that, and the other thing. Again, three things, third man, get it? So, we always found that it would be good to be the voice of the other side of the coin. Because nothing is all bad and nothing is all good. I know. I said that like I know it. Like I'm the preacher of all. No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Okay? There are some things that are all bad. Murder's bad, I guess. But then again, wait a second. If you murder someone who's trying to murder you, let's just see what we're talking about, hear what we're talking about, understand what we're talking about from a whole nother angle. Young people who are growing up and they don't know anything except texts, emails, chats, the various platforms of communication on the internet. And that's where these bad things get the press, because this is what kids do. I say kids, you know what I'm talking about. These are millennials, I believe. If you were born in 2000 on, you're now doing sounds out of your mouth like that. You're what, 14? Even further, I think millennials contain late 90s, whatever. Okay? My point is that kids, people, all right, growing up, and this is what they know, phone, mobile units, gadgets, iPads, iPods, things like traveling with this incredible tool called the internet, wherever they go. These bad things, and this also includes social networking, of course. It's like social, it's not anti-social networking, but there is anti-social networking in that because there are new platforms for people to attack people, and we know this. We, you know, back in the old days, during the Yahoo days, when there were Yahoo clubs, and there was Yahoo, there's still Instant Messenger, but back in the old days, I can't even believe I'm saying that. Is it that long ago? Yes, it is. Thank you for answering your own question, Frank. That's what I'm saying. When I say the old days, you know, it's funny because I don't feel at anywhere near the number that's involved in this, but that's me. We're not talking about me. I grew up in an analog world, a world of moving parts, and today, communicating, now this is where we get into it, because people in my generation complain about their children who are now older. You can have kids. I have a 21-year-old. I mean, there are kids, you know, you can have kids. There are kids going to college and you're in my generation. And the 70s, you know, and these kids are growing up and they're using phones and various other formats and platforms. Now, the complaint and the grouch brigade are the old fogies. Two things bother me about this. Number one is that it's amazing how many people, and I know I'm going to rag on my generation again, but they deserve it when they act like this. This being what I'm going to tell you, and that would be that, this, and the other thing. That would be the this, and the that, this, and the this, that, and the other thing. But they complain. You've got that phone in your hand. You know, you're out there, always texting. You sit and think you text. Why don't you talk to people? You don't get that thing. You know that sound? And they don't realize this, or they do realize, but they don't care that now they have become the very energy. They have now emit and produce the same energy they hated from their parents. Only it's just about something different. Maybe in my day it was like, I had long hair, and I grew up music, and I had long hair. These are people that hated to hear that. Oh, yeah. There's those voices again that come out of me. Now, and where'd those voices come? Because these are annoying, vexatious, and terrible expressions coming from older people to younger people. And that's the thing I always had against my generation, is that now that they're in their... Maybe they're in their twilight. I'm not in my twilight years. Hello? It's me, Frank Tolo, bouncing around. Okay. The consciousness. God, I've already worked like 25, 30 years of places and they're retired. Holy moly. And their children, and they're treating their children. They're not treating their children. I'm not saying they're treating their children badly. They're not putting them into closets with raccoons and closing the door. It's, you know, they're just squawking and grouching about how about the lifestyle of their teenagers, of 20 millennium people, kids, you know, who still live in the house or whatever. And I don't like this. I don't like this at all. It's a betrayal of the generation that supposedly was so free and filled with. Okay, this is not about that generation. It's about that generation complaining about the lifestyle and the tools and the toys of the new generation. The kids. So, okay, so they scream and but they don't. And they see the stuff on television about bullying, about people doing bad things and predators. And all the stuff that goes on because of the internet, because it's just another place, another territory for bad people. It's why we have viruses and why we have hackers and all that stuff, because, you know, it's not going to be all the wonderful people of the world coming here. Wherever you know, the bad people of the world. You know, it's like saying, that's a bad neighborhood, you know? And then something bad happens in a good neighborhood, well, they consider a good neighborhood, and you know, it's a good neighborhood. How can that happen there? Well, because bad people go into good neighborhoods too, you know? That's all this black and white thing. I'm not talking racial. I'm just talking good, bad, black, white. No middle, no shade of gray. So they hear all this stuff about the, and all these horrible stories about kids being influenced and bullied and hurting themselves. And so immediately they say, see, is amazing too, because this is what's fascinating. I can imagine, I know people who would be yelling, not yelling, I'm saying yelling, that's a very New York type thing. They would be judging, oh, that judging is a bad way too. They would be just commenting, negatively commenting on how their children are using the digital communication format. Now, of course, texting and driving, you don't want to do that. But you know what else? There are people, you don't want to text and drive, but you know, when I was their age, and kids at their age, you're able to drive, or what, 18, you're able to drive, and kids were like dropping acid and driving. But there were, it was like, and their kids died doing that. Now, I'm not saying that people should say to their kids or the young ones, say, don't, you know, oh, go ahead, text and drive. It's okay. I'm not saying that. Yes, it's bad. It's one more thing you don't want to do to get you into death or injury or lifetime paralysis, whatever, you know, injury. Just say you don't want to. But, you know, you have to remember that you should take it a little bit easier. Because I know, personally know people who got high and then drove. They got drunk and then drove. No, don't text. Don't talk on the phone. But it's the same problem, basically. And if you did it, it's because you were young. And when you're young, it's just different. But what about the positive side? What is the positive side? Knowing a number of younger people, and of course my sons who are younger people, that, and all the people I know and people that I hang out with, not just, I'm talking about younger, I mean millennials, have phones. Nobody walks around without a phone. For God's sake, I have a phone, but it's a stupid little, it's a track phone. It's an old man, Alcatel. It's called Alcatel? I never even saw that. Oh, boy. Big numbers on it because, you know, old people can't see. Jesus. But the positive side, it dawned on me that these kids are communicating more times than not in using these tools. They're communicating. Now, allow adults, their fathers, their aunts, their uncles, the older people are saying, we used to have to talk to people. We used to say, what do you do with the texting? Text and emails. Well, email not anymore because everybody's using email now. They used to complain about emails. And I was used to say, even from the beginning, when it was starting to be obvious that other generations, aside from the digital generation, was going to have to use emails, and that you were going to be using emails for communications at every level of every age, to the extent where the post offices would be in trouble because there's no more mail. But although the letter itself, writing letters and what have you, people don't do that anymore. And now we have instant communication. Instant communication. This is fascinating. It's terrific. Is it wasted? It's never wasted when you're communicating. And here's what I thought when I went around and talked to certain people, and one person gave me the idea. And that is that some of these kids have problems in general, because at that age you have problems in general, communicating at all. Kids are withdrawn, teenagers, and, you know, your 20s. This is a very, very tough time in a lot of people's lives. This is why they get into the trouble that they get into, you know, with bullying and peer pressure, all that stuff. Like that's something new. Hello? Nothing new. We've just changed the scenery. It's like the Peter Pan play. It's not going to be new. but it's going to look new and have new ways of, just have newer things. I'm going to be in color for one. And, you know, by the way, the guy said, the Foy guy, I didn't mention this before, but he said the difference in the contraption now that makes Peter Pan fly, the Peter Pan actor or actress fly. It's funny because he said, we've done every Peter Pan, you know, when they said, and one Dracula. That's what I would love. They just said that. And we did one comic Dracula. Yeah, Knott's Berry Farm there. Or Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry. Knott's Berry. Just like the Peter Pan. There's different tools, different toys, but it's the same thing. Kids, teenagers, early 20s, this is a really, really tough time for all of us. Don't tell me you had it easy. If you're one of your older folks. No, we don't have a lot of less older than young, than we do have younger. So young people understand what I'm talking about. You younger people know what I'm talking about. You just don't, it's just different in terms of doing it. Now, I knew kids who were very much like the kids today who text. Okay. In other words, everyone's texting. Now, in my day, with the same problems of growing up, the same peer pressure, same junky time that you have to learn the hard way kind of stuff, school, what's the future bring, all the junk that comes down from the generations after you, before you, I mean. And I know kids who are extremely withdrawn. Well, what if they had the opportunity to communicate at all? Say, what? Huh? That's what I'm going to talk about next, because this is the real positive side of what's going on with these contraptions, certainly with texting. Communication is the foundation of it. And that's what we're going to talk about, because I know this, and I want you to just put this, I want to just put this in your head so you can look around and see that when a kid is not using a texting or while driving, yes, that's bad. When he's not doing or she's not doing that, when they're talking to their friends or to people, they are looking up things on the internet, on their phones, or doing stuff they're doing. They're communicating. They're communicating, and communication is the key. And these are kids maybe who would have not communicated. That's what we're going to get into next, because I know some of those kids. I noticed what happened. In the meantime, my name is Frank Cotola, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Stay with me, because it's very positive stuff. I think it's great. You should think it's great. If you, at least you should be able to balance what I'm telling you with the bad stuff. Let's take a short break to replenish our precious bodily fluids. It's going to be real short. You don't have to listen to Matthew McConaughey talking about what? We're just going to sell some books and things. Oh, we do have to. Yeah, let's listen to Matthew McConaughey. He'll tell you about the Peace Corps in case you want to use 2015 for something. Okay, we'll be back.
Cthulhu Chronicles. The internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuiceTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything? Packed your bags and left. For a week. A month. A year. What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about. To build libraries and fill them with stories. Prepare a meal with food you helped grow. To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself. Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio, the people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. Toast in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
You betcha. You betcha. Frank, my name is Frank. My name is Frank Cotolo. All right, who was that? Who did that thing? Was that? Oh, wow, some character in some movie or what have you. Okay, we're here. It's Y2K plus 14, and we're back talking about the positive side of communication today in the down the Hallelujah Trail, especially our younger generation. I went to the contest, and I asked people, "What movie is this Generic music in the background originates from what movie is this? And nobody got it, so I'm going to leave it a mystery. Does that mean that they're just saying, well, what are you saying? It's still, the contest is still on? You can get in touch with me, fcatolo@yahoo.com. Here's something I neglected to say in the beginning. Probably because Jeremy Long's not here. This is a holiday for him with his family and all those people who he's related and wherever he has to go and do whatever he has to do. In America, where it was Thanksgiving Day, it's now Thanksgiving night, and overseas, it's nothing. It's nothing, just nothing. I mean, you know, it's already the next day anyway in some of those places you're listening over there in my pals in England and then, and however this is being played through the week on various other stations. I didn't mention this, that Jeremy Long has put together on Facebook now. There's a Cotolo Chronicles page. Yes, I've been amiss, and I have dismissed ever doing that. But Mr. Jeremy Long has done it. So you can go like it there. I don't expect to get, you know, 12 million likes. I wouldn't be, I mean, if I did that, I did that. I mean, if that happened, why on earth would we be not be on, you know, 200 stations somewhere? And that, and then if we did that, would it be this show, right? It's like when you come out with a, and then suddenly it's filled, and then it gets so popular that it becomes a commercial venture. Then it's not a renegade publication anymore, is it? Anyway, you could go and like Cotolo Chronicles. You can leave comments there. You could say, Frank stinks. I don't like him. I never did. I used to listen, but it's not as good as it used to be. He forgets things. You could say bad things about me and good things. It's communication. It's Facebook. That's right. And when we were here talking about, you could see it, you could get us on MySpace, and you know, I don't know, for all, delete is the word. I never deleted my MySpace page. Is it still there? Is there, and who goes there? Who goes there? Remember when people used to say that? Nobody says that anymore. Hear a knock on the door, and it's like, who is it? Who is it? My mother. My father never said, who goes there? Neither did my mother. Who goes there? Where? I don't know anybody who ever said that when there was a knock on the door or a ring on the bell. A ring on the bell? The bell rang. No, it's not bell. The doorbell. Oh, I don't know. It's getting late. But I forgot to mention that, so I'm mentioning it now. Cotolo Chronicles. You can get to it through... No, I don't get through it through my page. Frank Cotolo. You can... Every day. I don't know... When they stop letting you have friends. Well, I'm getting pretty close over there. People go over there. But you can now go over to Cotolo Chronicles. I'll talk to you over there if you want. I'll talk to you at Frank Cotolo if you want to be my friend there. Just make sure we have mutual friends or something. Because I get all the crackpots, all the bots, crack bots. Hey, there's something. Crack bots. Because a bot is half a robot. And the bots are the automatic scam, people who come on and what have you. But, you know, speaking of that, here's something, as we're talking about the positive side of texting and all the good things about the platform that millennials and people who have been born into this technology and don't know anything else but it, while we're talking about it. They also use, aside from mixing up the language, now you're going to say, like, I know what you're going to say. You say, well, Frank, of all people, you and your language are a language admirer, you're an English Nazi. Is that the way you talk to when you say it? You're like, oh, just one of these guys, oh, you guys speak correctly. Oh, yeah. And then you're talking about texting, you know, kids text. I know, there's a whole nother language, but that's okay. It's that platform. You can learn that language and do it to save space, because you must do it, just like on Twitter. 140 characters. And you do it. I didn't mention Twitter before, too, because that's another big form of communication. And if you were on Twitter from the beginning, you probably heard about it on this show years ago when Kurt Brando came on and talked about Twitter and nobody knew Twitter. All right, enough patting myself on the back here. You learn the language, you use a language for that format because you've got only a certain amount of space, so you can only speak a certain amount. That's okay, because that's more than some people would speak. Now, instead of saying I'm very happy, you might put a face, a happy face on there. A colon, dash, and then back paren. And there's a whole language for just those. Now, remember, you know, they're called emoticons. And people learn this, older people learn this, and they go, emoticons, they call them emoticons. What the hell do they call them emoticons? And that's, see, if you don't look at the word, if you don't understand it, then, you know, it's, what do you call them, emoticons? What is it, emoticon? They can't even say the word. They've never heard the word before. It's a new word. It's a word related to this technology. Emoticon saves words because you can just put a face there. It's a face that smiles. It's a face that's sad. You can put a face that means excited. You can put a face that means crazy. You can put a face that means angry. It's kind of red, you know. Okay. If you take the word emoticon and you split it, you got emote, icon. Okay. Let's put a dash after the T. Emote. Emotions, right? Emote. From emotions. Icon. Emoticon. An icon. An icon, just like a thumbnail, it's a insignia. The word I was looking for there. Insignia. Let's call it insignia. It's an expression. You see the smile, you know the smile. Emoticon. The word itself is a combination of emotions and icons. And that's what it does. It displays emotions. Now, there are people who will not, and there are kids who are so, they're shy, they're withdrawn, they wouldn't even smile right into your face because they feel awkward, because that's the age. Some of them are not as outwardly expressive. They don't gesticulate. They don't express themselves. They don't even feel like they have the vocabulary, no less the right on the self-confidence or the self-esteem to be able to speak. So they withdraw. Now, if you were to communicate with someone like this and you get... You write to someone. Let's say you text someone who's like that. And there are a lot of people like that. And this is not new, okay? My generation, the generation before me, the generation before me, the generation that walked around when Ben Franklin was the guy everyone was talking about. Kids growing up having the same problems, just with different dynamics, different tools, different scenarios. No, not scenarios, no. Different scenery. Well, that's, yeah, okay. You know, I mean, you know. And if you know a person who is withdrawn and they send you an emoticon and is a smile, that's a smile. That's a communication. That's reaching out. That's expression. It may not be the kind of expression you like, older folks, because, well, we talk, we smile, we... Okay, but it is expression. And I don't think, I know, I'm not saying I don't think, I'm not, this is not a matter of think because I think about this. I know this. I don't know much, but I know this. Expression, in some way, shape, or form, is still expression. It's like, not everyone, I know this because people say this to me, they say, when you do a show alone, how do you do that? And you just sit there for 2 hours and to break for the bathroom, that doesn't count. And I don't even do that sometimes. How do you do that? Okay, so maybe you can't do that. Or you won't. I'm not even going to talk about the fact that I think you can, if if you let yourself go, that's okay. And maybe you're not that type of person. Maybe you don't want to do it. Maybe you don't care to do it. That's all right. You have other forms of expression. I'm sure you use them. If you're a person, and there are people like this too, don't get me wrong, and do not. Well, there's a lot of negatives in this positive discussion, aren't there? Do not, don't, never, ever. There are adults who are just as bad, and they don't do anything. There are people who just, you know, live in a shell, live in a hole, live in a room, don't talk, don't think. I know they think, of course they think. You know what I mean? There are people who are withdrawn and... But kids, it's more natural to be like that because they're going through a particular crisis. If you're 47 and you're going through a crisis that a 21-year-old is going through, then I think you need some help somewhere, okay? But if you're texting, if you learn to text, you could, you're on the road to expressing yourself. I still write letters now and then to people, and they're shocked that they get a letter. Of course, it's just a giant L on a piece of paper. It's a letter. I sent you a letter. Just joking. I mean words. Verbs, adjectives, sentences, nouns. Two nouns. I send a noun. People, places, and things. And I do send emoticons. I have not learned them all. Oh, man, there is. You could go online and find, you could look at the encyclopedia of emoticons. But when you get something like, when you get even a slight response from somebody who would never respond at all, that's a giant thing. This is all a matter of level. Seeks its own level. Frank Atolo, I have to cut and use the language of texts when I'm texting, because I'm just verbose. Maybe not verbose. That's bad. I wouldn't call myself verbose, because that means there's a lot of extraneous words and thoughts. And then I know you're saying there's not. Oh, there's not, Frank? Hello? There's not going to door. Who goes there? Okay. But that's me. So if you text me, you can expect to get as many characters as allowed. You know what? On a phone. If I go to menu, and I go to message, and I say write message. Okay, 01224. So it's 1,224 characters in this text. Okay? More than 140. That's like Twitter is 140. Plus your hashtags and your grab bags and your grass tags and hash potatoes. So, see what I'm saying? To me, you can expect, but to me, you could call me. Now, there's the other thing, you know, when I was a kid and kids were talking to one another and they couldn't go out because they couldn't go over and see each other, they used the phone. You're always on the phone. So any of the people complaining, the parents used to complain. You're always on the phone. Suppose something important happens, they call us. You can't, no one's trying to get us. You're always on the phone. They get on the phone, talk to their friends. They're communicating. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, maybe it was too long. Maybe they were taking advantage of the phone or what have you. And in those days, it cost money. Minutes. There were minutes that you had to pay. It was unbelievable. It was so different. But that's not my point. My point is they were talking to their friends. They were talking about stuff. They were communicating. I don't care what they were talking about. The kid down the block, the other guy, this, the one who's cute, the one who's going to the dance and not dance, or the kids who are playing the music, or when are we rehearsing, or what are we doing, or where do I get that, and how do I shop, or do you want to meet tomorrow? So the phone, if they had Texas, if they had text, it's a hard thing to say when you put a plural on text. If they had that, they would be texting. We would have been texting as kids if we had it. We're on the phone. If we had a phone that we could carry around, we would have had a phone and used it. Now, So there's twofold here. It's, you know, I'm yelling at the parents who were complaining that, and, you know, because they had it so much better or whatever, or comparing, or it's not fair to compare it. Because many of the parents have phones now too. And they're even using imagine they're using the same gadgets and they're complaining and they're criticizing how the kids are using the gadgets. I mean, come on. You should be glad these kids are communicating. And you know what? Kids know a lot more people even than they would know even because of the chats and the, not just the, I don't really think the chats are, that used to be the main thing before the mobile phones came out. And that, of course, had its positive and its negatives. But now we're talking about texting, having entire conversations. I don't know what it does to your eyesight, because my eyesight, I think I told you this before. I went to the eye doctor thinking, hey, I'm having problems. And they went, no, you're not. And in fact, your eyes are better than they were in the last report. Imagine that. Let me get older and get better. Who am I? Benjamin Button? No, I wasn't born 80, and I'm not going to die zero. 0 to 5. You know when they say ages? 0 to 5. They mean months, I guess, right? Because you're not, how old are you? I'm not. The kid is, how old's your child? They say months, if he's not a year old, if she's not a year old, right? Okay. The very foundation of expression, and this is, you know, taught in school. You know, if you were in school, I'm not, you wouldn't believe how suppressed was I as a child in school. If you listen to this show, you'd go, that guy was always whacked out. He was probably in kindergarten. They were saying, they were telling him, shut up. Shut up! Now, within the realm of my immediate family, I talk here and there and stuff like that. But I had a kid in school in the beginning. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to say anything. And I was like anyone else in young. It's, you know what they say? The greatest fear people have is talking in front of other people. You don't have to stand up and give a speech. This is the greatest fear. And we all go through that stage. A very few of us can immediately get up and sing Tomorrow like Annie. You know, it doesn't happen that way. We still go through these particular stages, but you can text. See, so even I had to bust through this particular self-conscious suit of armor that we all wear, you know, or as who was it? Was it the armor, the guy? The Freudian guy who, armor, we create the armor. How could I forget his name? It's because it's so much going on. You have no idea how much is going on. Even as I speak, thoughts going over the thoughts going over the words. I have to organize this just as it comes out. That's why I hear dynamics. Actually, that's not why you hear dynamics. And you could see that I just did it right now by hearing it. What I'm saying is, and you know, because you're hearing it, once you break through this stuff, but you've got to find ways to break through the veneer or take off the armor, the self-conscious armor, and the only way to do it is to do it. Now, and there's no evidence that people who text because he's very withdrawn, but I got a text from him or her, and the friend says, you know, I got a text from him. They'll text. They'll actually communicate. The smallest, the most innocent, briefest, maybe not innocent, briefest form of communication is still communication. And we have my generation, the generation before me who now has children, the generation before them have children. And these kids are talking, they're texting. And the introverted can now become connected as never before. They weren't doing it in my time. And who knows, because we didn't keep, I'm going to tell you about bullying was different, and I'm always telling you stories about when I grew up, and it's entirely different than growing up in New York City than growing up in Manhattan, Kansas. It's entirely different, and it was even back then. So I realize that I'm in a particular, extraordinary situation that doesn't happen even in inner cities. Maybe you grew up in Chicago, you grew up not even L.A., I know L.A., and it's not the same thing as New York, okay? So these isolated places, I realize that. But still, children and kids go through these various stages, and this armor develops, and to get through. Now, the earlier you start expressing yourself, the better, because the more you will. And I know that because I wish, boy, do I wish, I'm using wish, my shrink used to say. Never say wish. Wish is a child's word. Say hope. Use a synonym. Don't say wish. So every time I hear myself saying that, even as a throwaway, even if I mean hope, or I hoped, past tense, or even now, I think I'll say something else. Don't wish. Wish is a child's word because it asks for some supernatural force to take over. I wish, you know, like, when you wish upon a star, is a star supernatural? No. When you wish upon a star, you don't even know. Hey, they tell us, did they tell us, hey, don't wish upon that star. It's dead. They didn't know. They said they made a song out of it, and it was a little cricket singing to a wooden boy. Hello? Who goes there? I just can't see my father sitting there saying, who goes there? Who goes there? I still don't have the resonance of his voice. I don't get the gruffiness or whatever. I don't get the resonance because my voice, listen to my voice. Who in my era, who in my family was as old as I am now, who had a voice this high, who can actually go up and talk like that? No one. Because I still have my tonsils. And I don't even know, do I even know that that's why my voice is high? No, I don't. See, I'm constantly critically thinking. Maybe some of you feel that's bad, but so what? Right? I told you about the Cthulhu Chronicles Facebook page, didn't I? Okay, because there was something else I was going to tell you about, which also disappeared when I said high voice. It came to me. This is not maddening, by the way. It's not attention deficit disorder. It's not a disorder at all. It's a very progressive and extremely intelligent thing. I don't ever tout my intelligence. I'm not an intelligence touter. I don't do that. And when I'm saying something and it sounds smart, if it sounds smart to you or academic, that's because it does. Maybe that's because you, in that area, you are not as well versed. And I am well versed. But I don't tout my intelligence. But to be able to handle big noise that's going on in my head since I've always been, you know, creative. I mean, I've always done things. But it's not a disorder. In order for it to be a disorder, I mean, you need correcting. I don't have to correct it. I tolerate it, live with it, and it makes my life better. Because I don't stop, edit, because my mind learns to work a certain way. And by the way, I don't have a mind or a brain that's any different than anybody listening. So don't say you can't address all the things you think you can. You can place them while you're conscious. This is a conscious thing. My unconscious, as far as I know, is so excited that it has made this merger, this agreement, this detente between my conscious and my unconscious going on. And it should be in yours too. Why do I say that? It's advice, that's all. So don't do it then. And that, you know, not one of those guys tell you what to do or not to do. It's not this kind of a show. It's all we do. We don't listen to those kind of shows. Well, you wouldn't be listening anyway. You wouldn't be listening to me if you thought otherwise. Thought otherwise? Yeah, if you thought, why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he say that? Why does he take a stand? Why did he get a... And you know that what I'm saying then, the positive side of all of this is that these kids, these children, these people who will be the adults of tomorrow, no matter how they learn to communicate, they are communicating, and that is so important. Anybody who disagrees with that, I don't know what to tell you. You know? And the world is turning and changing so rapidly that even the introverted are having a problem staying introverted. There's nowhere to hide anymore. That doesn't mean you don't have privacy. Don't make this a privacy issue with the internet or anything. Don't do that. Years ago, when people were really afraid of stuff in the internet and releasing information about themselves or using their real name, you know, in the beginning in chat rooms, you know, people didn't use their names. You know, you thought up a tag. You could hide behind it and be really mean, or you could just do it because you were cautious. There's nowhere to hide anymore. And it, you see traditions, you see institutions, values. And, you know, not all values are wonderful. They all have bad sides, too. You see it all crumbling around you. This is what I don't understand about people who are afraid of this progress that's going on. They don't consider that progress. They say, this is anarchy. This is madness. But when they talk to their doctor and they're ill, and the very technology that they have complained about in their time and in the time of their offspring, when that same technology saves their lives, then what? Then what? Go to the most conservative institution you might know. In this case, a church, a religious place. Rabbis are walking around with mobile phones. Priests, nuns, while there still are those people, they got phones. Phone in your frock, friar. I'll bet you if you went to a monastery, I'll bet you these guys got phones. Remember, you could take a vow of silence and still text. Think about it. It's fascinating. You could be a monk and go live among the monks, and you could do whatever monks do these days, gardening and cooking and cleaning, and live this simple life. And you could text. Wow. You don't break and I don't know this. Let's find out. Somebody find out if you go to a monastery. Are you allowed to text if you take a vow of silence? Because it's silent. You're not talking. A text is not talking, and yet it's expressing. So they're going to have to change it.
I'll take a vow of expression.
But if they do that, they can't even express to one another in this community of monks. So the guy who has to cook, he can't talk. He's got to use his hands. That's expressing. Excuse me. There's no more. No more left. No more beverage. I'm not leaving my post. I'm staying right here. My name is Frank Cotolo, by the way. And I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles. Y2K plus 14. This is the last show of November 2014. Y2K plus 14. So we need to find this out because they're going to have to change the whole, oh gosh, the paradigm has shifted. And it's not just like a shift. It's Atlas shrugging beyond. He's not just shrugging. It's Atlas just fell over, I think, in shrug. And the work it takes to battle this is not worth the energy because it doesn't produce the results you're expending the energy to hope to have happen. I almost ended with have. The results, period. You're saying results have happened. Results, period. So why on earth is anybody fighting? Why on earth is anybody complaining? Of course, you know, when we were bullied, and I'm sure this happened in Wickawaka, Arizona, or, you know, Northern California, where there wasn't a city or whatever, and in San Joaquin and San Maloney, or San Maloney and San Baloney, anywhere, kids were being bullied. Kids always got bullied. I got bullied to the point of being like thrown to the ground. And I'm not complaining. Did I feel well? Did I feel wonderful about it? No. But that point is that it did exist. If something like that happens and you don't talk to somebody about it, that's one thing. But if you have one friend, if you're a kid, has one friend they can express this to, and the only way they can express it is to text and talk to that person, they're expressing it. That could be the difference. The hanging in the balance could be their lives, considering how emotionally distraught kids get from this kind of stuff. All right? We should be encouraging them. Use the texts and the 1,220 letters. Use that to build upon. So that in school, when you have to write 800 words, you don't go, oh my God, how many texts is that? How many tweets is 800 words? Hello? That's 8 tweets and maybe 6. I can't do the math. Well, then get better at math. You see my point? Encourage expression. And when you do that, and you can't encourage expression and then want to suppress the means of the expression, it's just crazy. And isn't everything crazy enough? Even now? Isn't nutty enough? The good side of this, emoticons are wonderful. Emotional icons. Don't forget that. Write this down, said. They're wonderful. And I want you to. You don't have to do anything. I think it would be great if you thought about this. And the only reason I'm doing this also is because, remember, in the media, you don't hear. It's not just the media. Let's talk about people who don't want to fly just for a second. I don't want to fly. I hear about plane crashes. Yeah. And there are plane crashes and people die in them. How many are there compared to the people and the planes that get there? This weekend is a unbelievable weekend for travel in the United States. Because of that extra day, people want to get out of town and get into town real quickly. So they take planes and they fly from here to there and there and back. And you don't hear a report about, you'd hear about all the traffic. There was going to be heavy traffic this weekend in the air. And if you looked at one of those maps that showed all the planes, have you seen those? I don't know if you see, you probably see those somewhere on the internet. I guess air traffic control people have that whatever that technology. You see all the planes. You wouldn't believe the number of planes that are out there. So let's look at, and they, you know, how many don't get there? Hello? Who goes there? How many? All right? It's the same thing. So on the news, they'll tell you that it's a heavy traffic or something, but they're not going to say, and we might add that 100% of the planes that took off this morning arrived safely at their destination. Not their final destination, because there is no such thing as a final destination. Is a destination is final. That's where you're going. That's a little grammar crazy there came out. There. But you don't hear that. So you hear the horrible things. It's the same thing with this. It's the same thing with the internet and everything on it. There's a tremendous amount of pornography. If you don't like pornography, don't go there. It does not pop into your computer automatically and go, hey, you better. People don't come into your house and strap you down, which in itself would be pornographic, and say, watch this now. And you could see some really crazy stuff if you want to see it. All right? But that's not that. That's like, what percentage of the internet is that? Compared to the amount of information and misinformation. Let's talk about information. Misinformation. How about that? People go to one site, they go to Wikipedia, or they'll go to one particular site for information, and it might be incorrect, instead of looking at three different sources. Well, you know, when I was a kid, we should never go to one book and say, see this one book? This is where I got the information from, because if it's written down and printed, it's correct. That's not right. It was never right. Four books. Three sources that agree with one another. All right? And this is the way it's been. And this is the way it's going to be. It's only going to get more intense. And the people who are going through their various life stages now have this remarkable tool. Some of them will misuse it. And most of the people will misuse things that are good for them anyway. We did that as teenagers and kids, didn't we? Hello? Didn't we? What do you people think of this? Now I'm on the parents again. I'm screaming at the parents. What is wrong with you? I should have like a seminar. Parents who are technically or are weighed down by technical, just like this Hallelujah Road. We're moving along this road of technology and progression. Go with the flow. You can, it's useless. This is not like swimming against the stream because you're different. This is not that. This is not that. How you use it is what makes you different or the same. But the fact that you're using it is makes your life better and easier. And if you are developing, or you know somebody who's developing, encourage them. Send your friend a text. Thank him for the card, for the whatever. Thank him. Find out this. Send him an emoticon. Oh, there's that girl. I got her text. I got her number on my phone. And I just like to say hi because I like her, but I don't know how to introduce myself. Send her an emoticon. Say hi. Get it over with. As she responds, she'll respond. You've gotten contact. There is nothing particularly wrong with it. And it will, and believe me, it won't take over. And that was what everybody was worried about with the internet. Uh-oh, here goes. There goes human relations. Out the window. That's it. We're all going to be on our computers and our phones and our iPads. We're not going to look at each other. We're not going to talk to each other. Oh, right. And these of you ways to worry about cyber. when they were talking about cyber sex. Hey, man, everything went through. They were developing the stuff where, you know, you could actually do something and feel something and not even be with a person. I mean, this has never even worked. It's not going to work. They could create they already have the greatest, wonderful fake things that you can have. You can do weird stuff to anything time you want. And you can do that and that's fine, you know, but it's never going to replace human contact. Even for the introverted. There'll still be places to go and hide and run and jump and stay by yourself. And life can produce that. You don't even have to produce it yourself. You don't have to run away. But sometimes you may be hearing from people, and you should be hearing from those people. And you, if you're turning them away for any which what reason, you better have a good reason. Because you don't know. You don't know. But you think you do, and I think that's the big problem too. But anyway, don't think technology is going to take. You know, I'm not going to be fighting the robots out. It's because they want to be humans. This isn't that. And you shouldn't. And you should tell your kids and people that are younger, don't text and drive. You know what? You think they don't know some of this stuff anyway? They do. There's still incidents because people do it. And the people who do it, and it's a shame if they really hurt themselves or they kill themselves based on this, they know not to do it. They know not to do it. If they live through an accident because they texted and drove, you think they're not sitting back going, I knew better, why did I do it? How many things have you done that you knew better you shouldn't do? But you learned from doing it, and that's a very dire situation. You don't want to learn that way. You don't have to learn that way. But these kids, let's not look at them like they're stupid. They're developing. And yes, we're older and we're wiser in certain ways, in the footsteps, when they don't live in the same world. I knew kids that would have so would have benefited from having another way to express themselves. Because people, you know, kids didn't write notes. That's what people say. You know, instead of texting, they didn't write notes on a little piece of paper and give it to somebody as opposed to a text. But if they had that ability to be apart from someone, and the way to build the bridge to get to the someone would be to communicate like that. Because, you know, if you're going to talk to somebody, if the kid was going to talk to somebody, write notes, he'd have to give it to him or he'd have to mail it. All you need is a number, right, to text somebody. Or the Twitter account. You could tweet them. Tweet, text. Don't be so judgmental. And if you're telling people things and you want to be wise, and then, you know, do the same. Do, like, tell them, you know, you don't text and drive. There's things you don't do. And don't tell people things you wouldn't say. You give them simple rules. Don't tell people things you wouldn't say. Don't hide behind the texts and tweets. Say or don't say. And you know, you're going to find that these kids are going to do that. They are going to do that. And it doesn't mean they're not going to lie like they used to, because we lied, they lied, kids lie. Kids do things, try to get away with things. It has nothing to do with any of this. Twitter, Facebook. What did you run out of things? You remember when they were like 17? You could just rattle off these social networks like MySpace, Twitter, and thing, and dung, the bang, and tagged, and twings, and your friend, and this thing. Now, you know, everybody, it's all gone to, you know, it's all on Facebook. And look what Facebook has done. A social network, they're making billions because they've turned into a commercial thing. Say. So you see what I'm saying? And I think you know what I'm saying. And I think you deserve to be yelled at if, in fact, you're doing these really weird things like that. It's like yelling at a kid for listening to a certain kind of music. And then, you know, putting them down. My music was better. Your music stinks. My hair was better. Your hair stinks. What I wore was better. What you wear stinks. Who wants to hear that? Do you want to hear that even among your own peers? No. You reject that. Somebody who's your own age says, why do you wear those stupid shoes? You go, these shoes aren't stupid. They're stupid to you. Right? And the same thing happens. These things happen regardless. Don't be like that. I know there's like, you know, like preachers would be saying, that's right. A preacher would say, I'm not saying don't get angry or don't comment. And, you know, judging is fine if it's fun, but, you know, wake up. It's night. That's what that means. Wake up. It's night. And nighttime is followed by daytime. A new dawn. Different things, even though the sun is out. Different weather, different climate, different everything. See, wake up, because you can't live in this night. There goes a finger, huh? Who did that? Give me the finger! The finger is the Odd Couple, don't you? Felix. Felix, stop! Give me the finger! Hey, there's again another isolated imitation there. Is that Walter Matthau? Stop giving me the finger! He gives me the finger! Oh, that wasn't the Odd Couple. That was the Sunshine Boys. He's giving me the finger! All right. My name is Frank Cotolmo. My man's name, my doing is the title of the show. Let's go over some of the stuff that is happening. You need to know as we move into the final 5 minutes here. But you're listening to the Bard of Broadcasting, and that's who you've been listening to through this time. And I don't know, I'm looking through these papers like there's something here I need to know. I know what's on. I mean, you can get me on Twitter. I'm at Frank Cotolmo. And you could go to Daily Med. Wow, this is a fun, I'm telling you, this is fun. And it's free. I don't stick in commercials and ads, and I'm not probably ever going to sell a penny's worth of, it's just to get this, and one more thing you get for nothing, at Daily Meds, M-E-D-Z, it has to be M-E-D-Z, at Daily Meds with a Z, because somebody else has Daily Meds with an S. Go follow at Daily Meds. Funny stuff, retweet it, because there's, and not just funny stuff, thought-provoking things in a different way. This is not with the Cuckoo Sunshine Juice packaged. This is not pink. This is not, you know, super all-winged positive. This is real, and it's funny, and it's good, and it's, I dare I say, the best possible thing you could follow on Twitter. No, I have a couple that are pretty darn funny, but this is like my at Daily Meds of the Z. Do that, and I'll. Remember I said, you know, that was Soupy Sales. Just going to go into Soupy Sales. Do that, and I love you. I love you. Trying to do Soupy Sales. And I love you very much. And that is the way it is. So there, a little Soupy Sales. I never knew I could do them. And yet, I don't know a thing. Now, like Captain Kangaroo. And who would? Hey, oh, where's Mr. Bunny Rabbit? I don't know. When did he ever get to exhale? Keishan. That was his name. It was, but it's not any long because he's no longer alive. Next week, right here, Cotolmo Chronicles. Hong will be here live. Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. And maybe Jeremy will be back. And it's the debut of Savino Veritas right here live after my show. He's going to follow me. I'm going to open for Savino. And that'll be next week. And from there on, as long as we continue to do this with the energy, the talent, the veracity that we do this. As long as we can, we will. And that will continue. So, you also got to go to fourculture.com, juicedtalk.com if you want to download any of these shows and get or listen to them live on there. But go support the stations that rerun the show on they rerun the show on their stations, internet stations. Because there's a lot of other stuff going on there, too, that's fun. What else did I say? 148.ca and 148.ca/Frank. And then Savino, I would imagine, is on there, too. Find out how to do that. Listen to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com for stuff that's happening on the show. And then, hey, this is turning out to be a very long menu of things. I mean, it's part of now, and it's part of how. Now and how, isn't it? It's part of now, and it's part of how we communicate. And remember, communication is... I don't know, I was going to come up with a slogan. Communicate. What we have here is failure to communicate, as was said in Cool Hand Luke. And if you go back and you watch 2001 A Space Odyssey, don't be surprised if you get hungry. Don't wonder, why am I getting hungry? Because there's a lot of eating in there. And the Peter Pan thing, will tell you more about that. Maybe I'll do a whole show on being flying. I'm flying. That's one of the songs he sings. Peter Pan, it's he. And yet he's very, I don't even want to say androgynous. I don't think that works. He's Peter Pan, for God's sakes. And the Lost Kids. Right? Isn't that the Lost Kids? My name is Frank Atola, man's name joins the title of the show. And I want you to stay well. And I want you to stay in touch with one another. And I want you to stay in touch with me. And if you do that, I'll love you. Go to Zuby Sales again. And I want to tell you more about tons of things. Be here next week. Listen to this. Talk around to your friends and tell them if they've never heard the show, they should be here. SRM Media Works and all the other stations that run fantastic alternative broadcasting shows. Because this is where it's happening. This is where the new dawn exists. Wake up, my friends. It's night. You got it? Neo-postmodernists, you sunburnt sickleman. You're not sunburned anymore because it's cold. Oh, dig yourself out of the snow. You think it's getting late? Well, it's later than you think. My name is Frank Atola, man whose name adorns the title of the show. And we hope you've had a good time. And we hope that something's gotten through to you, because we got to talk to one another. We've got to do these things, even if it's, well, I'm not going to do the rest of the show. You go listen to it again if you don't like it. Or if you do like it, or whatever. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you are. Go buy the books, too, Amazon.com. Why don't you give License to Skill away as a gift to somebody who has a phone? You can read books on the phones now, too. Holy crap. It's unbelievable. It never ends, and it won't end. See you next time, and in between time, do what you gotta do. I'll leave you now. I have nothing more to say.